So here we are, Porky. The year is racing past us, and we're at probably quite near the end of February now. So, you know, Easter's coming soon. Half term has come and gone. You know, it's absolutely extraordinary how fast the year is going in already.
Yes.
And spring is on its way.
Yes.
But we're time for another On the Record.
Certainly we are.
Now, we have to kick it off with the latest news, please, from the crime of the century. From the Sutton Police. I mean, what is the latest?
Well, it's Stockbroker Belt Police, by the way.
Is it?
Yes, Stockbroker Belt Police.
Yeah.
And I've had communications from them on a...
Stockbroker Belt Police?
No. You know, there's a Surrey Police Force.
Yeah.
And there's a Metropolitan Police Force.
Uh-huh.
And there is a border. Okay, and we won't talk about the border, yes.
Is it like a hard border?
Yeah, well, it's kind of a soft border, but soft they cooperate border. With each other. You've got to remember, these evil carjackers drive across that border.
Yeah.
You know,
do they come from Croydon?
Maybe, who knows?
Well, they must know where they came from.
Well, they follow you home. I don't know. But they must have a clue
as to who they are, though.
Well, I can't say too much. You know, the Sweeney are involved and all that kind of stuff, okay?
Are they expecting an arrest anytime soon?
Well, I can't say too much because I don't want to hinder police investigations.
Right,
okay.
All right. Well, when do you expect to have some news for us?
Well, pretty soon.
Yeah.
I'll keep you posted.
Okay.
Hey, Porky, you like a glass of beer once in a while, don't you?
Well, particularly if it's delivered to me by Beer 52.
Well, Beer 52 will deliver you a case of beer for free, right?
Wow.
If you decide you want to give it a go, all you pay is £5.95 delivery. You get 8 incredible craft beers.
Wow.
You get a ferment magazine, which is about fermentation, obviously, right?
Yes, yes.
And also, you get a snack delivered with next day shipping. It's a no brainer, isn't it?
It's an absolute no brainer. It's the UK's number one craft beer club.
Yeah.
Not only that, the beers are selected by experts, okay? And we concentrate, Beer 52, on exclusive small batch beers.
Yeah,
okay?
Exactly right. It is kind of like a beer club, basically. But don't worry, because if you don't like it the first time you get it, you can just unsubscribe and you don't have to get loads and loads of beer delivered that you're not going to drink.
Absolutely.
So if you like drinking beer, what I suggest you do is you visit www.beer52.com and claim your free case today.
It's absolutely right. And guess what? Beer 52 are literally scouring the earth for new beers for you. Enjoy discovering beers from a new country each month. That's a promise. A new beer from a new country each month, okay? And I tell you what, if you take part in a rate and review of the beers that you're drinking and you're enjoying, you can earn points and rewards.
Beer52.com.
Listen, I'll tell you what I want to talk to you about, because, you know, you never accepted this when I told you first 10 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Right, Noel Edmonds.
Yes.
Who
gone mad.
No, he hasn't gone mad.
Yeah.
He says trees talk to each other.
Yes. This is a guy who had a magic box for fixing cancer a few weeks ago, didn't he?
10 miles away from each other, they talk to each other.
Oh, yeah, do they communicate through their roots, do they?
No. On this occasion, they do. I told you years ago, I told you a decade ago that trees talk to each other through their roots.
Yeah, well, maybe he's listening to some of our old podcasts.
A tree in Stockbroker Belt, Surrey, can talk to a tree in Australia merely because the lineage of the roots that go into the earth... The lineage of the roots that go into the earth eventually meet somewhere in the middle of the earth.
That's rubbish.
Beneath the earth's crust. They do, honestly, God. They do.
No, they can't.
Well, where do you think...
Do you know how hot it is in the centre of the earth?
It goes round the edge under the crust. It doesn't go through the middle. And guess what?
What?
Where do tree roots end? They never end. They are infinite.
Okay, how deep do you think they go into the centre of the earth?
I think they go about 100 feet down.
100 feet.
And then they turn right around the crust of the earth.
So when they hit the Mariana Trench, which is 26,000 feet deep,
yes.
What do they do then?
They then follow the line of the trench.
So they go 26,000 feet down.
They do.
Around the Mariana Trench.
They do, and come up again.
And then off to Australia.
Yes, that's right.
What a load of crap.
Anyway, listen.
Rubbish.
Listen, Noel Edmonds, who is one of the most successful entertainers of our lifetime,
he may well be that, but he has gone a bit funny lately.
He says trees can talk to each other up to 50 miles apart, okay?
Yeah.
In Africa, bushes turn toxic when giraffes eat them, and they communicate to warn their tree pals. What happens is...
Rubbish.
In the Kruger National Park, and I've seen it happen, I've been to the Kruger.
Have you?
I'm a man of the Kruger, okay?
Have you ever had Krug champagne?
Maybe, probably.
Because Jeffrey Archer used to always serve that at his Christmas party.
Oh, you mean it was Shepherd's Pie champagne?
Krug,
party,
that's right, yes.
You ever been to one of those?
No.
That's at the top of his tower on the banks of the River Thames.
It used to be near Tower Bridge, I think, wasn't it?
No, it's called Obel Tower,
and
it's in Vauxhall.
Is it? Okay.
On the front there, yeah.
I'll tell you what I did do once.
I know that, because our former boss, Sir Nicholas, used to go around there all the time.
And you used to go and drive him over there, did you?
No, I didn't. No,
how do you know where it was then?
Well, because
you must have followed him over there.
Yeah, he used to come back and say... Well, he had a a balcony all the way around. Yeah, the penthouse in this particular tower.
Well, I've seen pictures of him standing
there. That's right, yeah.
As indeed have we seen the fragrant Mary Archer standing.
Exactly, yeah.
But I see what I did do once. I approached him in Harrods, where he was signing books.
Oh, yes.
And it was one of those sort of rather embarrassing book signing situations where he was just sitting at a desk.
Right.
And there was nobody around
him. No, exactly.
And you don't want that, do you?
No, please, I mean, somebody come up and ask me to sign a book.
If you're sitting there signing books, you want there to be a bloody great line.
Of course you do.
Going out the door.
Of course you do.
And I can't remember exactly what it was, but I think he had had some kind of a row with Richard Addis.
Right. Who was the editor of the Express at the time.
Who was the editor of the Express. Yeah. I think he'd invited him to that party.
Yeah.
And he hadn't gone.
Right.
And he just hadn't bothered.
Right, okay.
And so I said, can you please sign this book for me, Sir Geoffrey?
Yes.
And he said, oh, yes, who should I make it out to?
Mm.
And I said, please make it out to my good friend, Richard Addis.
Mm.
And he kind of did a double take and he looked up at me as if to say, well, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, exactly.
And he said, well, you want me to write that? I said, yeah, I want you to write to my good friend, Richard Addis, best wishes, Sir Geoffrey Archer.
Yeah.
And he said, do you know Richard?
Yeah.
I said, I do, actually, yeah, I work for him. He said, I don't like him very much. I said, well, that's not my problem.
Mm.
I said, I'd like to give him this for Christmas. Mm. Surely you're not going to be small-minded enough just because he didn't come to your party.
Yeah.
And he was totally puzzled. He didn't know who I was, didn't know
how
I knew
this. So you were grovelling to your editor?
I wasn't grovelling to him.
If you take it, oh, teacher, do you want a present?
No, no, no.
To your editor?
Not at all.
What a pathetic story.
Absolutely not at all. No, the point was, I happened to be in Harrods buying Christmas presents, right? I happened to come across...
Well, why don't you get it signed for your mother?
Well, then? Because my mother wouldn't have cared less.
Yes, she would. Sir Geoffrey Archer, world famous author.
Bollocks, no. So I thought, this is a great opportunity because it had been, I think it had been in the paper, there was a big feud going on.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, this is too good an opportunity to miss.
Right.
Where else am I going to meet Geoffrey Archer and get him to write this in a book?
Sure.
Anyway, so I got it in a book and I walked away. Mm. And he was so, to this day, he didn't know who I was.
And did he write it the way you wanted it?
He did.
Yeah. I've done book signings. I did them with Mr. Brazil. When,
well, when you wrote Brazil's book.
Yes, that's right, yeah.
There's an awful lot of bubbly in Brazil, which you basically made up.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, it's all true.
You've told me that he can't remember half the stuff that he's done in his life, so you just made the stories up.
Al's been pissed for most of the past 35 years.
Say. If he hears you saying that, he'll be coming for you.
No, he won't. But Al is a man who can hold his drink, unlike anybody I've ever met in my life.
It's true.
And he has perfect recall of everything that he's he's done.
Are you sure?
And well, I mean, apart from one individual football match, we can't remember who it was against, you know, so I have to research it and all that kind of stuff. Well, they play hundreds of football matches.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do in the future. We'll get Al and Brazil into a room with the two of us and I will ask you questions about the book and I'll ask him questions about the book and see whether he remembers the same way that you
do. Suits me. That's a book that you dismissively threw across the stage at one of our live shows
because
and said it's rubbish.
It's the one that opens up with, you know, it was another great night in the ski capital of Merivale. The sky was inky black. The snow was as white as a tin of Dulux paint.
That's right,
absolute rubbish.
I know, that's great stuff. That's what Al told me, so I wrote it down.
How many more copies of that have you got, by the way?
Well, you know, people are after one all the time.
If you're going to have the Porky Museum, surely you should have a few books.
Maybe. Now, let me tell you this. So I'm in Atlanta, Georgia, doing the Olympics, and I get a phone call from Sir Geoffrey Archer, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What are you doing in, anyway, he was a big friend of Sir Nicholas Lloyd.
Oh, right.
Our
esteemed editor who used to creep and crawl around, by the way.
I didn't.
Yes,
I didn't.
You did.
And Geoffrey Archer wanted to give us his views on,
Geoffrey Archer?
No.
I thought it was Geoffrey Boycott.
No, Geoffrey Archer. This is Geoffrey Archer. No.
So it wasn't Boycott that rang you?
No, I'll tell you what this was. This
God's
was
sake.
Geoffrey Archer, right, who, Sir Geoffrey Archer, rang up.
Yeah.
He was a big mate of the editor of PA, who was Paul Potts, who was the deputy editor of the Express.
Well, because he was a sort of Tory bigwig, wasn't
he? Yeah, he was, that's right, So he rang up and said, I want to give you my views on, the 100 metres final.
How very generous of you, Sir Geoffrey.
I said, oh, right, OK, why is that? He said, well, as you know, I won the 100 metres...
He was a Cambridge Blue or something, wasn't he?
Well, nobody knows.
Oh, you think he made it up?
He was
a bit of a bullshit artist, isn't he?
A complete bullshit artist in many respects. He had some capacity at Cambridge.
Mm.
Where did Nick go? Oxford. At Oxford, that's
Oxford,
right. Because Nick was Oxford, yeah. Because there's that famous picture of the Beatles at Oxford with Sir Nicholas and Geoffrey Archer.
And Geoffrey Archer,
holding a collecting can, and the Beatles did something for charity there, right? But the allegation is, and you know, Sir Geoffrey's never told a lie in his life, obviously.
No, of course not.
He's sent to jail for it.
That's right.
Yeah.
It was just an aberration.
Yeah, exactly. That, in fact, he spent 1 year there on a teacher's training course or something.
Really?
And took up athletics to get in with the Bing crowd, you know what I mean? And,
so, a bit like you saying you almost went to Oxford because you went to Brasenose College for an interview.
I went to interview. But anyway, point of the story is, I want to give my views on. So I thought, why the fuck would I want to know about what Sir Geoffrey Archer thinks about the 100 metres final?
Yeah.
But Paul Potts, being a friend of his, said, oh, we'll just humour him, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
So I rang him back and said, oh, that's very interesting.
Well, so you were in Atlanta and you had to interview a guy in Britain.
No, he was in Atlanta.
Oh, he was in Atlanta.
He was attending the Olympics, in some form.
I thought you said you were in Atlanta.
I was. I was head of the PA team at the...
Well, so he's ringing you in Atlanta?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Right. He's in a hotel in Atlanta. He'd obviously spoken to Paul or something.
What
were
you doing in Atlanta for the PA?
The Olympics. I was head of the Olympics team.
Why?
In 96, because I was the top guy.
Well, that's rubbish.
Yeah, so I took the whole team
out there. You didn't need to go there.
Hey?
You should never have gone there. You should have masterminded it from base in London.
I masterminded it on the ground, mate. No. That's what I do. I do it on the ground.
You just went on a jolly.
I do it on the ground. Anyway, you know, I felt quite humiliated having to ring up Sir Geoffrey and ask him about the 100 metres.
Yes.
And then file it to London. Nobody in the world
Because you thought you were too big for that sort of thing.
Yeah, too big,
I'm no longer a reporter.
Yeah, and I said to Paul, I said, well, I'll get somebody to ring him. He said, no, it's got to be you.
Yeah.
You know, you're my editor out there. You know,
do you think Potts did it to humiliate you?
No, I think Potts did it to grovel to Sir Geoffrey Archer.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I got my revenge a year later when I was in the office... And I was sitting on the desk, and phone went and all that. And somebody said, oh, right, yeah. Somebody said, it's Sir Geoffrey Archer.
Mm.
He wants to speak to Paul, you know. And he'd been through to his office and he wasn't there, so they put him through to the news desk, you know. So I said, I'll speak to him, I know him, you know.
Yeah.
So I go, hello, Sir Geoffrey, Mike Parry. Oh, yes, Michael, yes, you know. And nobody ever used a word of what he said on 100 metres. So he said, I'm outraged. All right.
Okay, okay.
You rung me up to tell me you're outraged. I'm outraged about, you know. So I'm outraged, you know. All right, okay. He said, I've just been reading this ridiculous story about how we are going to commemorate our great sporting stars on stamps, and I want to bloody well know why Bobby Charlton is not going to be one of the faces on these fucking stamps.
What's he going to do with him?
Well, you know, so...
Was this after lunch, by any chance?
I don't know. So, anyway, fortunately, because it's one of those things I knew in the back of my mind, I said, well, Sir Geoffrey, it's very good of you to, you know, take an interest in this, but, of course, as you know, you can't put the face of anybody except the Queen on the stamp until they're dead.
Right.
He said, what? I said, you know that, don't you?
Yeah.
How dare you put the phone down on me? And that was it. That was the last time he ever spoke to me.
He's still around, isn't he?
Yeah, of course he's still around.
I wonder if he's still... I mean, I imagine he doesn't really still have those parties, because if he does, they would be full of all sorts
people
of...
Honestly, people go to jail in this country, come out, 2 years later they're forgiven and nobody talks about it.
Well, that depends who they are.
That was like the guy from, the Guinness trial, right?
Oh, yeah. The guy that got Alzheimer's.
He claimed he got Alzheimer's.
Yeah, he didn't, did he?
No, he didn't have Alzheimer's. He got out... No, I'm talking about the very good property developer guy who owned the chain of petrol stations as well. Terrifically successful businessman who went down because actually a lot of people told lies about the Guinness trial and all that
Saunders
kind of
thing. Saunders was that guy's name, wasn't
it? Yeah, was it Saunders?
Ernest Saunders, was it?
Ernest Saunders was the guy on Alzheimer's. Yeah. The guy I'm thinking about was a very successful businessman, lived in Hampstead, and three lovely daughters, and his wife was very glamorous and all that. I'm trying to think of his name now. Oh, it was the property group called... Well, I'll remember it in a minute. But anyway...
Bovis?
No, it wasn't Bovis, no. But what I was going to say
McAlpin?
No, it wasn't McAlpin either. I remember it in a minute. What was it say was? What was it say was? That you could go into jail and come out these days and then... I mean, for instance...
Yeah, but it depends who you are. If you're some scally from, you know, downtown Liverpool and
you go to jail for a couple of years,
you come out, I don't think you get feted in the House of Lords.
Hang on, a colleague of ours
right.
who worked with us at Talk Sport and then went off and became a bigwig again at another music station, a DAB, he went to jail for using cocaine.
Who's that?
And dealing with it.
Oh, Johnny Vaughan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another man who's made it right to the top. And he's fated by the BBC as though he is the almighty and the second coming.
Yes.
Stephen Fry.
Stephen Fry, yes.
Has also been at His Majesty's pleasure, hasn't he?
Has he?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I think he has, yeah.
Yeah.
And if
yeah,
I've got that wrong, Stephen, then I do apologise.
Yeah, well, you'll have to do more than apologise if you got it wrong.
Yeah.
But the point is, though, right, these are people who are extraordinary characters.
Yes.
You know, you're talking about people who are in show business, people who are in the public eye.
Yes.
Very, very soon,
yeah.
You will have to say, if ordinary people go to prison,
yeah.
they live a life which is a life of misery. They don't come out and suddenly get, you know, a new salary from a new radio station.
Yeah.
Well, they don't suddenly get told, oh, don't worry, come back to the House of Lords.
Well, like you say, they might be extraordinary people.
They might well be.
Right, now I'll tell you what I want to tell you about, right? You know, you dismissed me about talking trees, but... Yeah.
Well, how about the other thing old Noel Edmonds has been getting up to, right?
Yeah.
Which is, in addition to all the flack that he took last year,
yes.
when he came out with that ridiculous magic box crap...
To cure cancer. Said,
yeah, you can cure
can't
cancer.
Can't do that with people's hopes and fears, can you? No.
But does he not? Is he not also having some massive feud with his bank?
Lloyd's Bank. $300 million. And he's suing him for $300 million.
Yeah, but he's now started a radio station, supposedly,
during which
he does is broadcast crap about Lloyd's Bank.
Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah. And somebody on Twitter said this is the kind of thing Mike Parry would do
if
he had a massive enemy, corporate enemy that he wants to get rid of.
I might do. I tell you what, there's going to be a few people quaking soon about the revenge of the Portmeister when it comes to those who tried to destroy my career quite unwarrantedly with allegations of excessive blatheration and that sort of thing.
I don't think they're allegations.
Well, you know,
hey, listen, just while we're on the subject of the House of Lords, because I wanted to bring this guy up. Do you remember Lord Watson?
Yeah.
Do you remember Lord Watson? You'll like this guy. Baron Watson of Invergowrie.
Invergowrie.
Now, he was a Labour politician, right?
Yes,
was at the time of asking, when I was working up there, I think he was a Labour MP, but he somehow got made up into the House of Lords, right?
Right.
Now, there's a very nice hotel called Prestonfield, just on the outskirts of Edinburgh, on the way to Murrayfield.
Right.
Where lots of events get taken to. And, you know, there are dinners and awards ceremonies. I've been to a couple of Hearts-type scenarios there.
Yeah.
Stayed there a couple of times. He got bladderated one night at this kind of political dinner that he was invited to.
Yes.
Right? And he walked into the bar... and demanded that they serve him, you know, another drink.
Right.
And it was at about 2 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they said on no occasion would they give him another drink. One, because he was too pissed.
Yes.
And because it was too late.
Hey, another drop of whiskey.
But you know what he did?
No.
He fucking went out the bar, right, in high dudgeon.
Yeah.
And came back into the bar and set fire to the curtains.
Do you know what? Well, he got a lighter or something.
He had a lighter.
And set fire to the curtains.
Not only that, right? Yeah. But it was all caught on CCTV.
Yeah.
The fucking hotel was evacuated. I mean, you could see him with a little Zippo lighting the curtains, these big heavy velvet curtains.
Unbelievable.
He went to prison for arson, right?
Yeah.
But he's still in the House of Lords.
Unbelievable.
You know.
Do you know, I had a girlfriend once, and because I had so many air miles, you know, from the times I was traveling America, we went and stayed at the Sheraton in Park Lane. And I don't think it's called the Sheraton anymore. You know,
I don't think it is. No,
they change names all the time.
Yeah.
But the
Is it where the Four Seasons is?
Because it used to be called the Londonderry and all sorts of things. You know. But anyway, funny story is, so she got completely pissed on champagne in the bar and started going around asking couples if, you know, they were married and were you committing adultery?
Why
are you here without your wife? Because she was completely pissed and she was on this campaign to clean up
probably married to somebody else, wasn't she?
No, she was the secretary at the Express.
Oh, what an unusual story.
Yeah,
well, that I do believe.
Her name was...
But was she not married?
Aileen, eh?
Oh, the Scottish one.
Yeah, that's right,
I remember you and her coming to... Mari's place in Belsize Park.
Oh, really? Yeah.
For a drunken night.
Oh, really?
Either dinner or drinks or something.
Oh, I don't remember.
And you know, the only thing I remember about it is that we were playing music and dancing.
Yeah.
Right? And there's four of us there.
Mm.
And at one point, you and she were sort of doing some kind of Highland reel.
Oh, I see.
And she fucking lost a grip of your hand, so he went pertly across the room.
Yeah, I remember that.
And smashed into a table.
That's right, yeah.
I think she flattened it.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Well, she was going around, you know, moralising. Well, you know, you're not married to each other because I can see that you're ready to shag each other, aren't you? You can't wait to get up there. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then people looking at her aghast, you know. And she said,
did they not ask her to leave?
Well, yeah, I had to take her out. And I said, look, this is outrageous. You know, well, the maitre d' came and said, you know, excuse me, but, you know. Yeah, she's going around saying, oh, yeah, well, I suppose you only want him, you know, because, you know,
he's probably got a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know.
Bloody hell.
And all that kind of stuff. And so I took her upstairs. And I said, look, for goodness sake, you know, she smoked in those days.
Yeah.
And we had a no-smoking room. That didn't stop her. She got a cigarette out.
Well, in those days when there was you could still smoke in the hotel.
Yeah, we had a no-smoking room, you know, because I didn't smoke. Right. But she set fire to the awning on the bed, because it was like a four-poster bed. It had a very nice suite, and it had, like, a cover over the pillows and all that kind of stuff. Uh-huh. She was sitting there, honestly, lying on the bed, smoking like this, and she put her hand back like that, and the fucking cigarette set fire to the curtains. I came out of the bathroom, and she was like, fucking bed was all on fire. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I mean, she had a disaster written all over her.
That's right, yeah.
She was a nice woman when she was sober.
Oh, but she was never sober.
But she was very rarely sober.
Yeah, very rarely sober. Yeah, honestly, it was amazing. And
do you know where she is now? She's still around.
Well, funny thing is, right, you and I went over to the Sun to see the editor a few weeks back, okay? Yeah, yeah. And do you remember the lawyer turned up? A guy called...
Justin. Yeah.
Well, she was Justin's secretary at the Express when Justin was at the Express. Right. So Justin came up and said, "Hi, Mike, long time no see."
Yeah, I didn't recognise him. He had a beard, I think, didn't he?
I think he had a beard and his hair had gone grey. Yeah, yeah. 25 years since I've seen him, you know.
Well, that's the thing you forget.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
is quite terrifying.
Exactly. And I said, "Oh, yeah." And he said, "Fine." And my first instinct was to say to him, "Do you see Eileen these days?" He said, "I'm in touch with her all the time.
Really?
Spoke to her yesterday.
Blimey.
She's a bit worried about her mum's health."
Christ.
Crikey, the fact that her mum is still alive is amazing.
You should get in touch with her.
Well, what's the point? What's the point?
Well,
unless
you're
going to offer the girl a future, what's the point?
For old time's sake.
Well, I'm not sure about
you
that.
You might want to take her out with a bit of a laugh and a joke with
you know, on that basis, I could get in touch with Carol Malone, couldn't I? You know, for old time's sake. You know
well,
what I mean?
Well, I'd be very careful about that.
Yeah, well, she doesn't like me very much.
No, she doesn't,
she thinks I've been horrible to her.
She thinks you've been nasty to her.
Yeah,
I know. I mean, you have said some things.
No, I haven't. Listen, the other thing about Noel Edmonds, because you think he's gone a bit nutty.
Well, I think he's
He says water talks to itself as well.
What?
Water talks to itself. Now. He says a glass of water in a room can convey messages to another glass of water or a vase of water in the same room.
Well, then what would it say?
I've no idea, but he thinks water communicates to itself. And talking about water, by the way.
Rubbish.
Talking about, well, no.
I've told you my Noel Edmonds story, haven't I?
What's that?
I used to know a guy in Wiltshire who worked for Small Bones of Devizes, which is a kitchen, a very upmarket kitchen shop, basically, and they will do your kitchen for you.
Yes.
And they're quite expensive.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful, do it very well. And they've got, in fact, they've got a showroom in Brompton Road.
Right.
Which is just opposite the old Brompton Oratory, right?
Okay, yeah.
Now, this guy was lovely. You know, he ended up getting MS later in life. But he's very tall. He's about 6'5".
Right.
His name was Dean.
Yes.
And he was the guy that used to liaise with all the kind of celebrity clients because he was terribly well-spoken when he used to go around. So they didn't have some oik turning up and going, "You're right, Mr. Edmonds, what do you want me to do?" Anyway, he went round to Noel Edmonds' house, which was, I think, somewhere like Berkshire or something.
I thought he lived in Devon.
No, this was somewhere in the home county.
Oh, okay, yeah, right.
He
may
have had a house down there as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so he goes there personally, right, to see Noel Edmonds.
Yes.
And he said the whole time he was there, he sensed that Noel Edmonds was kind of very offhand with him.
Right.
Didn't like sort of looking at him.
Yeah.
Was very dismissive.
Yeah.
Sort of everything he suggested, he was like, "No, I don't fucking want that." He was really horrible, he said, as a client. And Dean got back in the car, drove home. And apparently Noel Edmonds didn't like him because he was so tall.
Right.
And he rang the devices people, the Small Bones of Devices people, and said, "Don't ever fucking send that guy to me again.
Right.
He's too tall."
Right.
And they went...
It's quite harsh, isn't it?
Well, because apparently he's quite self-conscious about his height.
Is he?
He's quite a short guy.
Is he? I didn't know that.
And he doesn't like anyone around him who's taller.
What a plank. My sister...
Yeah. Which one? Sue Ellen or the
Sue
other
Sue Ellen. Did business with him once.
Did she?
With a beer deal. She she brought Miller Lite into this country from America. Yeah, from Milwaukee.
Yeah, she wasn't meant to put it in her backyard and drink it.
Well, you know, she, perhaps she was testing it for them.
That's a bit hard. And, she's a lovely woman.
It is, indeed. And he flew her in a helicopter.
Oh, yeah.
He flew his own, he flies his own helicopter.
Why did he have anything to do with them?
He, as I say, he was involved in a promotion with Miller Lite beer, you know, the adverts and that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
Was he?
Yeah. And so they got to some location.
You don't see that beer around much, do you?
It's gone. It's not a brand anymore.
Do you remember they tried Budweiser for a while?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you still get that, but it's crap beer, isn't it?
Yeah, it's horrible. It's just fizzy beer, and I don't like it.
You know, piss weak beer.
I totally agree. What else I was going to say was, if you've got a pain, talking about water, the best thing you can do, and I can vouch for this, is go and find a body of water, which is very, very cold.
Well,
you know,
like a lake.
A lake, or a quarry.
A loch.
Or even a swimming pool that's, you know, got very cold water
or
in
a river.
A river. and jump in. Right? No, no, seriously.
Listen, don't advise people to jump into rivers. People die that way.
Oh, listen, mate, I know all about jumping in rivers and dying.
Do you?
I tell you, I do.
Well,
yeah.
Have you done that as well?
No, but I tell you something. When I was... But the sudden shock of the cold water cures your pain, you see.
No, it gives you a heart attack.
Can do, but I mean...
When I was in Centre Parks, right, a couple of weeks ago with the kids, they've got these rapids where you can go... And they're outside, you know?
Yeah.
And the water's heated, and there's a sort of a swimming pool there which is heated as well.
Yeah.
But it's not so much of a... It's more of a jacuzzi type scenario. And they've got a couple of hot tubs. They've also got a plunge pool.
Right.
Which is freezing.
Right.
And people were jumping in it.
Yeah.
And the kids were like to me, "Why don't you jump in it, Dad?"
Yeah.
I was like, "Because I'll fucking die."
Yeah, you would.
That's why I'm not jumping in.
Yeah, that's true.
You know,
and it's very cold.
You left a... Well, it's a ice plunge pool.
Oh, it's deliberately cold.
Yes, it's a plunge. It was literally just a hole in the ground.
Well, that's what athletes do, don't they?
Yeah.
After a game,
well, Andy Murray has an ice bath, doesn't he?
That's right. Yeah, exactly. Ice bath.
No,
yeah.
This was it was about the size of that table, so maybe twice the size circumference wise.
Yeah.
And just a sort of cylinder shape.
Golly.
And so all you did was jump in and come back out.
Oh, I see, yeah.
But I wasn't going to have any of that.
Well, let me tell you.
Well.
The first time I ever had to work on Christmas Day was the first year I was a reporter on the Chester Chronicle.
Right.
And it was Christmas Eve, and we went down to the boathouse. And the boathouse is a lovely pub, or literally on the edge of the River Dee.
Okay.
I mean, it's built over the River Dee. Mm. The water flows below the balcony.
Is there a mill scenario there? Sorry? Is there a mill?
No, there isn't a mill. No,
I do like that. I like a pub with a mill wheel.
I knew a lovely pub called the Washford Mill in the Midlands in Redditch, where a river ran through the pub and turned the mill.
I love that.
It was lovely.
I do like that.
But on this particular one, so obviously it was winter, it was December, so we went out on the balcony or anything. But we were getting tanked up, and it must have been... After 5 o'clock, because the pubs in those days used to close at 2 and open again at 5, right? So it's about half past...
So it would have been dark, presumably.
Dark, absolutely. So it's about 5:30, 5:45.
Yeah.
But we'd been out drinking all afternoon in the Conservative Club. It was Christmas Eve. And then the Labour Club.
Yeah.
I've joined both, actually.
And, yeah, I remember you told me. Yeah. You're not supposed to be working this day.
No, we had a half day off. Yeah, okay. It was Christmas Eve, so it was fine. So anyway, after about 20 minutes, one of us suddenly realised, where's old, Dave or whatever, I don't know, must have gone home, you know. But the window was open, and somebody said, "Shut that fucking window, you know, it's so cold." Yeah, shut the window, okay, it's cold. Well, on Christmas Day, I got a call, because I had to do the calls on Christmas Day to the local police.
Okay.
You did every day to find out what was going on.
Hmm.
So I rang up the police, and I said, hi, you know, sorry to bother Christmas Day, happy Christmas and all that. Sorry to bother you, but I'm the duty reporter of the Chester Chronicle.
Yeah.
Any crime overnight?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And they said, oh, yeah, we've... he said, shouldn't be laughing, he said, we've had a body wash up in the River Dee.
I don't know why you're laughing.
I know. Shouldn't be laughing.
So were you laughing down the other end of the phone?
No. You know, I said, golly. I said,
it's bad news.
He said, we're trying to identify it. So I said, well, I might be able to help you there.
Uh-huh. Hadn't seen your mate for a while?
Hang on. This cop said, what do you mean? I said, well... Is it anywhere near the boathouse?
Right.
He said, yeah, it's on the opposite side of the river, the boathouse. Yeah. I said, well, my mate Dave kind of disappeared, you know, when we were drinking yesterday afternoon, and the window was open.
Right.
He said, and anyway, it turned out he dived out the window to try and swim across the river.
Why?
I don't know, because he was pissed and it was Christmas Eve.
Did the cop not say to you, did you not think you're reporting this?
Well, we didn't know. He jumped out the window. We thought he'd gone home.
Surely he must have seen his legs disappearing.
No, nobody saw it. Nobody saw it. But later, they found a witness who said, oh, yeah, you know, I was walking down the embankment and I saw this man leap out of the window, you know, from the other side.
That's amazing that nobody reported it.
Well, exactly. Yeah,
you know, you see it all the time. There's somebody jumping out of the pub window.
Absolutely.
I mean, I've heard about trying to get out and buying you round, but that's a bit drastic, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
It's
terribly drastic.
Blimey.
Yeah, sure.
Well, I think we've come to the end of another one.
Have we really?
I think we have.
Okay.
It is on the record. We are the two mics.
Yeah.
We'll be back soon.
You two, you're You're not married to each other because I can see that you're ready to shag each other, aren't you? You can't wait to get up there. Oh, yeah, yeah. And then people looking at her aghast, you know, and the show's...
Did they not ask her to leave?
Well, yeah, I had to take her out. And I said, look, this is outrageous. You know, yeah, the maitre d' came and said, you know, excuse me, but, you know. Yeah, she's going around saying, oh, yeah, why, I suppose you only want him, you know, because, you know,
he's got a lot of money.
Yeah, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And all that kind of stuff. And so I took her upstairs. And I said, look, for goodness sake, you know, she smoked in those days.
Yeah.
And we had a no-smoking room. That didn't stop her. She got a cigarette out.
Well, in those days when there was, you could still smoke in the hotel.
Yeah, we had a no-smoking room, you know, because I didn't smoke. Right. But she set fire to the awning on the bed. Because it was like a four-poster bed. It had a very nice suite.
Yeah.
And it had, like, a cover over the pillows and all that kind of stuff.
Uh-huh.
She was sitting there, honestly, lying on the bed, smoking like this. And she put her hand back like that, and the fucking cigarette set fire to the curtains. I came out of the bathroom, and she was like... fucking bed was all on fire. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah,
I mean, she had a disaster written all over her.
That's right, yeah.
She was a nice woman, she was sober.
Oh, but she was never sober.
But she was very rarely sober.
Yeah, very rarely sober, yeah. Honestly, it was amazing.
He was a Cambridge Blue or something, wasn't he?
Well, you know, nobody knows.
Oh, you think he made it up? He was a bit of a bullshit artist, isn't he?
A complete bullshit artist in many respects. And it turned out he dived out the window to try and swim across the river.
Why?
I don't know, because he was pissed and it was Christmas Eve.